as we're walking through, struggling through our little daily lives, doing whatever we do, there is an unseen, supernatural, eternal realm in which Christ powerfully and strongly represents us and intercedes for us before the throne of God.
Why is the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven so important to the Christian faith? That's the question Pastor Don Green began to address last time on the Truth Pulpit. Hello, I'm Bill Wright, and we've come to the final installment of our series, At the Cross and Beyond. Don gave us the first three of five vital points to consider. The ascension of our Lord underscores His authority, shows the finality of the cross, and makes way for the sending of the Holy Spirit. On today's broadcast, Don will touch on our Lord's advocacy on our behalf, and he'll look ahead to His return. So be sure your Bible is by your side as we join our teacher right now.
You have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. You have a new nature, unlike the nature that you had before when you were dead in sin, because Christ in His mercy and His goodness and His care for you ascended to heaven and sent the Spirit to be upon and within the people of God. And so as we see the ascension, we see it testifying to the authority of Christ. We see it testifying to the finality of the cross. There's nothing to add to His work of redemption. And we see that the present position that we walk in as those walking in the Spirit, those having the Spirit of God dwelling within us, it's tied to that same ascension. Christ said, I'll send the Spirit when I ascend into heaven. The presence of the Spirit is proof positive that Christ is where He said He was going, and that He exercises His authority and sends the Spirit out of His love and His care for His people. The glory of this just goes everywhere. The glory of seeing His authority on display, and then in a whole different aspect of the wonder and the glory of Christ, seeing that He has provided for us from His ascended glory in heaven, as shown by the fact that we have the Spirit within us. The indwelling Spirit empowers us to serve, and that Spirit was unleashed when Christ ascended to the throne of God. And from there, sent the Spirit for our blessing. And so, every spiritual provision that you have is traced directly back to the ascension of Christ. We walk in the power of the Spirit because Christ is ascended in glory and sent Him from there. Well, I mean, we could stop there and just say, wow, that's so wonderful. His glory, His authority is displayed. The work of salvation is complete, and I have the Spirit here on earth. What more could you say? There's just so much bound up in the glory of the ascended Christ. That if I stopped here, you'd walk out and just be overwhelmed with the majesty of it. But you know what? We're not done. Scripture says more about the wonder of the ascension. It brings us to a fourth point as you study through all of the scriptures. What else does the ascension signify to us about our salvation and about our Lord? Point number four, it signals the advocacy of Christ. The advocacy of Christ. Christ, Scripture says, is in heaven as our advocate, as our helper, as our representative at the right hand of God. In other words, Christ represents us as Christians. He's in heaven now on our behalf at the throne of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 for a moment. And I'll be honest with you. There are times where I don't know how to express things very well. I don't know how to communicate the majesty and the glory of what we're about to describe. But let's try this way to kind of set it up and to just condition our minds so that we will appreciate what we're about to hear. You know, here we are, you and I, walking about on earth in time and space limitations, in our sinful fallen flesh, in our trials and subject to death and sorrows and temptations. We're born, we flourish for a while, and then we start to decay, and ultimately our own time comes to pass from this earth. If we're not thinking biblically, we only see what we can observe with our five physical senses. And it all becomes very earthbound and very temporary and fragile even. Well, there's that aspect to our humanity even as Christians, to be sure. But while you and I are going through this earthly existence that is tempered with all of that stuff and the transient passing nature of it, a lot of times not even thinking about that we're just passing through. Okay, hold that thought and realize that all the while, in all of our weakness and all of our indifference and not seeing these things on a consistent basis, all the while, beloved, for you in heaven is an advocate who has ascended and who is representing you before the throne of God without fail, without ceasing. We have a flesh and blood representative in heaven who bears our name before the throne of God and represents us, and you and I belong in heaven just as much as Christ does, because He represents us and owns us, and we are united with Him so thoroughly and without any degree of separation. And so as we're walking through, struggling through our little daily lives, doing whatever we do, at that physical level, there is an unseen, supernatural, eternal realm in which Christ powerfully and strongly represents us and intercedes for us before the throne of God. Wow. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Where you see this laid out, and you see the implications of it as the text goes on. Christ Jesus is He who died. Yes, rather who was raised. And watch how He keeps going. Sometimes we tend to stop at the resurrection, but we shouldn't do that if we're going to think biblically. We should just follow Christ out of the tomb and follow Him all the way up in the ascension to heaven with our thinking, in our understanding, in our appreciation. Verse 34, Christ Jesus is He who died. Yes, rather who was raised. What? Who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. There He is at the right hand of God, interceding for His people. We don't see it. We often don't think about it. But without fail, our faithful advocate is representing us in heaven. And so what can we say? What does that mean for us? Well, Paul goes on and reinforces the idea of the finality and the certainty of salvation as a result. If Christ, listen to me, beloved, if Christ is in heaven representing you before the throne of God, nothing can sever that relationship. Nothing can break that. Why? Because He has all authority. There is no spiritual power that has the ability to separate you from God. And that is guaranteed by the ascension of Christ. That's what it says, verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Well, he's asking that question on the heels of pointing to Christ at the right hand of God, interceding for us. If Christ is interceding for you, who can sever you from Him? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What earthly trial, what earthly or spiritual power could sever you from the ascended Christ if He is interceding on your behalf? From that position of accomplished authority, what could possibly go wrong? that would undo your salvation? The answer to that question is nothing. There's no reason for you to be anxious. There is no reason for you to be concerned about what the future holds. There is no reason for you to tremble at the fear of earthly circumstances or at the fear of death. No, 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 beloved. What we're seeing here from Scripture, what we're talking about here, is your anchor. It is the certainty of your hope. As you sit here today, as one day you are on the brink of death, lying on your deathbed, just a few short breaths from eternity. All along, all through that, in your life today, when you're laying on that deathbed, the ascended Christ is ever interceding for you and securing you so that nothing can separate you from the place of security which He purchased with His own blood at the cross. You see, Christ, think about it this way. Christ didn't simply go up to heaven by Himself, as it were. He didn't go up to heaven just for His own benefit. And, you know, he goes to his own private resort now that the hard work is done. And now he can kind of kick back because he did his earthly ministry in his 33 years on earth. No, beloved, speaking metaphorically here, Christ, as it were, carried you up with Him. He carried His people up to heaven with Him, in the sense that He took it upon Himself that He would ever intercede for us and represent us in an unbroken, unceasing way, representing us before the holy throne room of God, so that we would ever be secure because He is interceding on our behalf. You know, it makes me just want to stop and just walk down and vacate the stage so that there would just be the glory of Christ with nothing to hinder your contemplation of that. These things are unspeakably magnificent. That Christ's ascension means that He is representing you and me who belong to Him there without fail. And that therefore salvation cannot be broken. That therefore our future trajectory, our future lives, our destinies are utterly secure. Your destiny as a Christian will end up right where Christ is now, at the right hand of God. Couldn't be any other way. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1 says that we have an advocate who is at the right hand of the Father. And so Christ, beloved, is representing you in heaven based on His finished work. And from there, He represents you. From there, Scripture says He dispenses grace and mercy to sustain you in your spiritual life. Look over at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. This is precious. This lifts us out of our earthbound perception of existence into the proper biblical realm. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. What does He do for us from heaven? Well, verse 15, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. A high priest, the one who represents us. Verse 16, what? Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The basis upon which we ask for mercy and grace from Christ in our Christian lives, as we ask for help in our time of spiritual need, is grounded in the fact that He has ascended in heaven and represents us there, and gladly receives us when we appeal to Him on that basis. I like to say this. I've said it repeatedly. Lord willing, I'll say it many times in the future. Christian, you have a brother in heaven who is there to help you and to represent you before God. A brother who will never fail. The Scottish preacher Robert Traill, who died in 1716, is quoted to say this: Christ's intercession in heaven is a kind and powerful remembrance of His people and of all their concerns, managed with state and majesty as a crowned prince on the throne at the right hand of the Father. End quote. Let me say that one more time. Christ's intercession in heaven is a kind and powerful remembrance of His people and of all their concerns, managed with state and majesty as a crowned prince on the throne at the right hand of the Father. End quote. That's what the ascension means to you. The eternal Son of God intercedes at the right hand of God on your behalf. You are utterly secure. The one who oversees all and is over all is overseeing and watching and dispensing His grace on your present day circumstances. He represents you when you fail. He represents you when you sin. And His settled work of the cross continually protects you in the presence of a holy God. That's how great the ascension is. That's how crucial it is to your security in Christ. And it's the basis on which we ask for His help. One more. Point number 5. There are other things that others have said, but I think these capture the main emphasis of it. So we see the authority of Christ, the finality of the cross, the sending of the Spirit, the advocacy of Christ. The ascension does one more thing for us. It testifies, it points to one more thing. Point number 5, the ascension points to the return of Christ. The return of Christ. Scripture says that the ascension of Christ is a prelude to His future return. Look back where we started at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We saw verse 9, Acts chapter 1, verse 9, where Christ was lifted up while they were looking on. The law of gravity could not hold Him down like it does us. And the disciples watched that happen. In verse 10 it says, as they were gazing intently into the sky while He was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky?" That question has always struck me just a little bit funny, in the sense that if I'm there and I'm one of the disciples, I say, "Well, what do you think? Why, you know, look what just happened." And yet these angelic messengers instruct them to look beyond that ascension. Don't get caught up in that moment of the rise. Be mindful of what that moment speaks to yet to come. And so the fact that I would say, "Well, what do you mean?" is simply a reflection of my own spiritual immaturity. Those men in white clothing said to Him, "Men of Galilee, this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven." Somehow Christ went up in glory. Somehow, in a day still future to us, Christ is going to return in like manner, in glory, in power, in His second coming. Beloved, what that means is we don't see Christ now, but we will. The way He went to heaven is the way that He will come from heaven. And listen, this aspect, as you think about the authority, the finality of the cross, the sending of the Spirit, and the advocacy in heaven. Stay with me here, because I am almost done. As you think about it, these are all accomplished aspects of the ascension that we see now. We enjoy the benefits of it now. We have it all now. And it's established, it's settled, it's ongoing now. Well, there's a future dimension to the ascension of Christ in that it speaks to His future return. And just as we certainly understand and appropriate these four things that we've already discussed, all of that is a guarantee of the certainty of the fifth thing that we don't see yet, that hasn't happened yet, the return of Christ. He went up, He has His session, He reigns, He intercedes for us, one day He's going to return. The same scripture that testifies to the four other blessings testifies to that which we now have. And so we trust His promise. Nothing will keep Him from His promise. Look at John 14. This is one sweet passage of Scripture. John 14, verse 2. John 14, verse 2. John 14, verse 2. Starting in verse 1, Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled." This is where I said, the ascension means the death blow to your troubled heart, your anxieties. Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you." What? "For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Christ said, "I'm going to go away." He's talking to His disciples before the crucifixion. He says, "I'm going to go away. I'm going to go to a place where you cannot come. But understand that it's only temporary." It's as though Christ said, "I love you so much, and your eternal well-being is so much central to My plan, that if I go away, know that it's simply an indication and a prelude that I'm going to come again." Because Christ would not be in heaven forever without His people there with Him. Why would He? He came to purchase us with His blood. And so His departure is merely an indication that He's going to come again. And that we all, as those who know Christ, will one day be in that same presence where He is now ascended at the right hand of God. We will share in that presence. We trust His promise. Beloved, think about it this way. There Christ is, victorious, a generous victor, as we said last week, glorious, reigning over all. And His intention for us is that one day we would share in His victory. So much so that He will come back for us and take us there where His victory is eternally celebrated without diminishment. He's not going to leave you behind, Christian. He will bring you to where He is now. We will share in that glory. He promised. And we know that He can keep His promises because He's ascended at the right hand of God, where no authority can hinder Him. To the contrary. So the ascension is a certification of the certainty of our Christian blessings. One writer says, and I quote, he says, and listen to it, this is the final application of everything that we said today. "We live, work, pray, believe, witness, serve, worship, obey, and die under a Lord who is now exalted as head in earth and heaven." This was the secret of the early Christian zeal and optimism in the face of persecution. Here is our secret of peace in a world of turmoil. Jesus, our head, is exalted over all and has given us the power of His victory. End quote. Isn't that wonderful?
And so, Pastor Don Green concludes both his message, The Importance of Jesus' Ascension, and our series, At the Cross and Beyond. We can look forward to our Lord's return, while we live lives of gratitude and worship until He comes back. Well, more important teaching is on the way on our next broadcast, so be sure to join us right here on the Truth Pulpit. But now, Don's back here in studio to wrap up our just completed series. Don, what would you hope we take away from it?
Well, my friend, it is just so very important for you to understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is based on historical facts. Jesus Christ really did die on a cross. He really was buried. He really was resurrected, and he really did ascend bodily into heaven. Because all those things are literally true, he is able to save you to the uttermost from your sin. He alone has the power over death and hell. Trust him for this life and for life beyond the grave.
Thanks, Don. And friend, remember to visit us at thetruthpulpit.com, where you can find out how to get free CDs of our messages and series. Plus, you can learn more about our ministry. Once again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. Now for Don Green, I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.